Hello and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. I'm Charlotte Richards, your host for this week, and I'm investment editor here at Money Marketing. This week I will be discussing the increasingly important issue of accessibility within financial services and the troubles I have personally faced as the disabled person. Here is Taking Disability Seriously in Financial Services. I hate networking events. I strongly dislike talking on the phone. And I'm not great at meeting new people. All in all, some brilliant qualities for a journalist, right? While I will be the first to admit that some of this is due to my inherent antisocial nature, it is predominantly because I am deaf. This makes everyday life on the job difficult for me, without anybody knowing or seeing. It also makes it challenging to get my basic financial life sorted. When I was 15, I woke up one morning to my mum barging into my room, wondering why I hadn't answered her, and why I was still in bed instead of getting ready for school. She had been calling me for quite a while. It turned out I just couldn't hear her. And that is no mean feat to block out my mum. No offence, mum. I tried to unpop my ears by squeezing my nose and blowing hard, but nothing worked. I couldn't hear anything. It was frightening. I could still hear a bit in one ear, the one I had been lying on, hence why I wasn't aware of my mother calling, but my right ear felt completely blocked and my balance was all over the place and I struggled to stand properly. To cut a very long story short, my local audiologists managed to get some of my hearing back through some nasty steroids, but I still have a significant hearing impairment. One ear has about 70% and the other has under 30%, but it's very muffled and quite frankly useless. This might explain my previous statements about not enjoying events and talking on the phone. I struggle in loud environments too, given I also have the discomfort of tinnitus. Talking on the phone is uncomfortable and I can't switch ears halfway through a long call. And I'm probably one of the few among you who has yet to suffer with Zoom fatigue this past year. It's by far one of the best ways of communication for me. So 2 decades on from my initial diagnosis, I am now a mother to a wonderful set of twin girls and yet another disability to add into the mix, but this time in the shape of chronic illness. I caught mumps somehow, despite being fully vaccinated, when my girls were 5 months old. Then a few months after that, I got diagnosed with postnatal depression and anxiety. After all of that happening in just under a year, I still never felt quite right afterwards, despite being on medication and having cognitive behavioural therapy treatment. "Oh, you have baby twins. It's no wonder you're feeling tired," doctors told me. "I have an 8-year-old and I'm still exhausted," another said very dismissively. But I maintained something was wrong, and this was more than just having twins. Because a not-so-humble brag, but my girls have always been great sleepers, having stayed down through the night from about 9 weeks old, and I always managed a solid 8 or 9 hours sleep. Lucky, I know. So after a lot of pushing, and I mean a lot, last year I finally got diagnosed with myalgic encephalomyelitis, the mouthful otherwise known as ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome as doctors call it now. A chronic neurological disorder, it is a post-viral illness with a huge range of symptoms, but the main one is extreme fatigue. Why am I boring you with my medical history, you may be asking? Well, it's estimated that nearly 20% of the UK's working population are disabled. That's 20%. And almost 45% of retired people also identify as disabled in some manner. Now, that is a significant proportion of an advisor's clientele. Now, in my personal experience, there's a massive barrier between disabled people and the financial services sector. A prime example is that I need to sort out my life insurance. And by sort out, I mean get something beyond the death in service policy I have through work. And before you email me to tell me off, I know I should already have it and I really should know better. But have you ever stopped to consider what the process is like for somebody who can't pick up the phone that easily? I promise I looked into sorting it out online. Though my conditions have no bearing on my life expectancy whatsoever, I still can't do it easily on my own. Instead, because I identify as disabled, I have to speak to someone to apply separately, and the whole phone issue rears its head again. And just to clarify, in case there are any very concerned PRs listening, I can hear people on the phone because I am not profoundly deaf. But consider what it might be like for somebody who is, and who would be unable to use the phone full stop. Every time I go to pick up the phone, I have the same questions going around and around in my head. What if I mishear something? What if the line isn't great? Or what if they think I'm really stupid because I ask them to repeat everything? What if they have a really strong accent or a deep voice where I can't fully understand or hear what they're saying? Or what if the hold music is so high-pitched and annoying that it makes my tinnitus even worse before I get around to speaking to somebody? The worry starts for me before I even begin an application online. Income protection is also something I've been putting off doing for similar reasons. So would I even be accepted? Would my ME count against me, considering it could possibly get worse and make it harder for me to continue working as much? I have so many pre-existing health conditions that even the thought of Googling it spikes my anxiety. This is all stuff I know full well I should stop avoiding and sort out. The beauty of my job is that I have a solid understanding of the different types of products out there, and of course, access to the experts and all the information I need at my fingertips. But how many outside the industry have the same luxury? Not many. Even talking about my ISA is near on impossible without having to pick up the phone, although I will admit this has definitely got better over the years and there are far more online options available. But if I wanted to discuss something further or get more information, that's where it becomes a problem. I almost exclusively rely on online chats where I can, be it a mobile phone bill, boiler servicing, or yet another Sky package upgrade for the kids. But financial products are so much harder to manage. It's like there is a virtual barrier for somebody like me. I can fully appreciate the security element and the threat of fraud, but surely in this digital age, there should be a way to increase online chat capabilities. Encrypted chats are available for so many websites, so why not financial services ones? My husband has been working in customer relations within finance for almost a decade, and he is surprised such tools are not used more. The capabilities are there, but the actions are not. Some banks now allow customers to cash cheques via online banking. Alas, not my bank yet, so I've still had to take mine into the branch to the teller when I've had one, which adds just another problem at the moment for the deaf, masks. I never quite realised how much I've relied on lip reading until this past year. The FCA has begun discussions on vulnerable clients, which it describes as somebody who, due to their personal circumstances, is especially susceptible to detriment, particularly when a firm is not acting with appropriate levels of care. The regulator goes on to state that physical disabilities, mental health, hearing or visual impairments, and low mental capacity can be reasons for somebody to be classed as a vulnerable customer. It is commendable to be starting these conversations, but more still needs to be done. Plenty has been written about these so-called vulnerable customers and how we can protect them, but herein lies my problem. I would not consider myself to be vulnerable. I am knowledgeable enough about the industry not to fall for a scam. I have more insight on the industry than the vast majority of people I know, and I'm hardly disengaged with the market. But there are some days where ME can really get the better of me and I can't quite think straight, or I struggle understanding or articulating the simple things. Like this podcast, I've tried about 10 times to record it. At least I have the privilege of having people on a virtual speed dial to whom I can ask these basic questions. But again, I'm left to wonder how many people are out there with a learning disability who can't understand half the jargon we use in the industry, or with such extreme anxiety that they can't talk to people about really important issues. Yes, it is great the FCA is starting to talk about it, but how is it actually helping? The bigger firms have the capability to make different types of forms, ones with Braille or large print, for example. But for the one-man band advisor who wants to do more, the expense might be too much, and then they could subsequently lose that 20 or 40% of savers who could be vulnerable. Have you thought about ways that you can help customers communicate aside from on the phone? Do you offer large font sizes for forms or even on a different coloured paper? It's not cheap or indeed easy for many to have that infrastructure in place. But accessibility is not just adding in a ramp or a hearing loop. It's appreciating that many people can't even pick up the phone for myriad reasons. As an industry, we need to get better about talking about disability. Many of our esteemed peers have taken great strides in starting the conversations around race, gender, and mental health, but inclusivity goes so much further than that, and we all need to go one step further. Disability isn't something to shy away from or to be afraid of. Ask questions if you want. Don't worry about not talking about it for fear of saying the wrong thing. I'd much rather someone say the wrong thing and learn from it than for people to continue to shy away. Growing up, the term disabled almost exclusively referred to wheelchair users, and you would be forgiven for still thinking that, and it can of course be the case, but disabled is a blanket term that covers so much. Physical conditions such as hearing or visual impairments, mental health, cancers, multiple sclerosis, or learning disabilities, among many others, can be classed as a disability. You no longer have to be registered to be considered disabled either. There is no longer a piece of paper confirming whether someone in administration has decided that you are disabled based on an application. So what are we doing about it? When we move to a monthly magazine in May, we'll be starting a new regular In Focus feature where we look at various aspects of inclusivity, including the aforementioned topics, as well as another section covering vulnerable clients. Disability is one area I will continue to personally champion for as long as I am able, and I really hope others will want to join in and add to the conversation. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, as usual, with another weekend essay. In the meantime, please take care and stay safe. See you next week.